This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Dree.
Lindsay Clancy's murder trial is now several weeks into testimony at the Plymouth Superior Court. The same evidence is telling two completely different stories. A mother who planned to kill her children, or a mother whose providers failed her into psychosis. We are going to be talking about it from both ends of the spectrum here today. Joining us to do it, Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent. So is Robin Dreek, retired FBI special agent, chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program. We've all been very fired up about this case online, if anyone's been following any of us. And we do have some differing opinions, but We can handle that. We can,
and that's why our show is so good. We have our awesome people, and we take different angles, and we just entertain all options, all ideas, and all thoughts.
We're all in different rooms, so if somebody throws something, nobody's going to get hurt. So that's also a plus. Let's start here. And your thoughts, welcome in the comment section on Substack and YouTube or wherever you're watching. Links are in the description. Okay, so the jury heard testimony that four mental health providers treated Lindsay Clancy in the months before January 24th. None of them reviewed her full medical history. None of them talked to each other. Her nurse practitioner didn't know she'd seen a psychiatrist 14 times in 4 months when she checked herself into a locked inpatient psychiatric ward on New Year's Eve, didn't get to see a doctor for days, and then was later told that it's not the place for her. So then she's out of that. The providers treating her an outpatient had no idea about that stay. So the testimony has been there. We've seen the evidence now, Robin and Jen. We've heard the testimony from medical professionals and providers, and we've seen how discombobulated they were. I think that's pretty easy to see just on the surface, just one hand not knowing what the other is doing. Does any of that matter when three children are dead? Because that seems to be the breaking point for a lot of it. No matter how big this evidence is over here of a failed system and a woman begging for help, three kids are dead. So burn her at the stake. That's kind of what it feels like, Jen. Yes, three children are dead. Nobody is denying that. That's horrible. That's horrific. But here's the context that got us here. So does all of that matter now that we're here?
I think it always matters that this is even being talked about now. You know, postpartum depression, postpartum psychosis, anxiety, all of these issues. I think sometimes they get pushed to the back burner. I think women can be embarrassed to talk about them. It's so anti-motherhood to have a child and not be fully in love. But let's concentrate on her facts, first of all. What is the central cog in everything you just said there? If you go to the doctor, Tony, and your ankle hurts, and you see your primary, and then you decide to go to a different primary, and then you decide to go to a specialist, and you don't very specifically say, by the way, I've been to this guy, and he said this, here's my scans from that. It is imperative for everyone seeking medical attention for whatever reason to explain their whole situation to the provider and what they have or haven't done. So a lot of this is on Lindsay Clancy.
So I would love to, because again, I know where you stand on you know, it's on Lindsay Clancy, Jen, and I'd love to explore and understand fully all the medical side of things of what your belief on this is, and where not criminally culpable, you know, the statute there, you know, not guilty by reason of insanity, but it's got the new, it's got the different vernacular up in Massachusetts. And so is it, because here's what it comes down to for me, and to see if this is correct for you, but just a different understanding of what's going on medically. For me, and for, you know, basically the country's divided on this one, I see the psychosis as the reason behind the murder of her children, and that as I'm understanding the science as it's been explained, the psychosis, that it can last from minutes to weeks to months, and it can ebb and flow in and out of there. So even in conditions where, and here's where I totally agree with so many people, this is premeditated. She's aware of it, but she's also, in my estimation, from what I saw from the experts, is she was in psychosis during it because it was a massive deviation from that behavior spike line that we see. Because I've never seen a case, and I'd be curious if you've seen one, because I think that forms your context of the two, where you have someone who had such a stable relationship with children, being a mother, and how life is rolling, to all of a sudden kill them. I mean, it's such a, and so that the only explanation for me that I understand is it must have been a psychotic break, even with some pre-planning in there, as I'm understanding it. Is it, where am I differing from where you're on at it?
I think where we're differing is I don't see a psychotic break at all. Okay. And I listened to the testimony. Obviously, there's a lot of differentiation. Listen, this case was really bothering me this weekend.
Everyone. That's why we're all kind of blue, right?
probably I wore blue because I'm blue. No, you know, I think everybody has been bothered by this to some degree or another. And I spent a lot of time just researching and psychotic breaks with postpartum psychosis and all of that. She doesn't meet any of it. And to say that all these medical professionals are saying that just is not true. There are so many that don't side on that side. Let's just look at this. Most people who have postpartum psychosis have a serious issues in their past, bipolar, schizophrenic. I want to take Andrea Yates as the perfect example. I believe Andrea Yates truly had a postpartum psychotic break. I think she had voices telling her to kill. I think she was absolutely lost her mind, as she had lost her mind how many times in her past? I mean, she was mentally unstable and unsound forever prior to doing what she did. She perfectly meets the parameters and the normal makeup. The other thing is, 8 months. If you look at the Cleveland Clinic and multiple other studies on this, this is something that happens typically with the first child and typically within weeks. And their anger is pointed at that child. You don't family annihilate all your children, your 5 and 3-year-old, and go into a full-on struggle with them and bruise them all up and strangle them. God knows how long all that took. No, I do not believe she was in psychosis. I think that is bullcrap. If you look at the list of 13 medications, remember, those were just prescription refills. I just went through all of them this morning. She only had traces of 4, traces because they were going out right. They have half-lives. And the other, she had therapeutic amounts. It's so ridiculous to say that she's in psychosis. Obviously, some professionals are going to say that. I believe the ones that say she wasn't.
So let's move that aside. Because, you know, we can see the research we want to see, because there are a lot of professionals that say she was in psychosis and say it weren't. So let's remove that side and just go on the behavior side. It's hard for me to say, from her pattern behavior, and again, like I already said, throughout her life so far, and then the way that the prosecution is painting her as this person that just gave up, that she just didn't like her kids anymore, didn't want to be a mother anymore, so this is her solution to getting rid of that. First, what was her plan after? Again, what some people are saying, attempted suicide, it was a fake suicide, but really to me, so she's never ever given up on anything in her life, so this is the first time she gives up, and she went from 0 to 100, so even remove the psychosis, what I would look in for was, all right, so say that every single medical professional saying psychosis is not even possible. Then what was it? Because the solution that the prosecution's saying was her motive just doesn't fit the lifetime behavior pattern. She has never, even in her journal, she's never, ever given up. And so why would she give up here? Any thoughts on that?
Yeah. All right. You ready for this, Robin? And I'm glad you asked. Here you have a woman that I describe as an absolute overachiever. She's good at everything she does. She's a good nurse. She's a pretty wife. She keeps herself impeccably. She has a beautiful home. She has the 2 children. Then she gets the 3rd children. And she's able to manage all of this, has the nanny, has the has the just life that people looking out in think, wow, this woman is together. But guess what happens with Carol? All of a sudden, she's not living up to her own standard of achievement. She's stopped nursing early. She's doing the, you know, night training on him that she's feeling, quote, traumatized by. She finally is in a situation, and it happened also in nursing school, by the way, where she wasn't achieving. She was starting to fail. In that situation, she again turned to pharmaceuticals, Zoloft. In this situation, she also turned to help, not help in terms of yoga or in terms of a group dynamic or something like that. No, she turned to the pharmaceutical looking for that that would make her feel better about what was happening. She couldn't find it. She looked and looked, and she was a failure. And for somebody like that, I think, who thinks an awful lot of themselves and who is able to achieve in so many great ways, it was over for her. And I think she wanted to, the children no longer around. I think the suicide attempt, I have issues with it. First of all, the direction of the cuts, the lack of penetration of the cuts. And then finally, did you see what she cut with? It was a huge 6-inch or something butcher knife, I'm guessing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay, that's what you cut a chicken or a pork chop with. Find a case, because I can't, where anyone who commits self-harm in this way, they use a paring knife. They grab a small knife that they can use. This was so outside of the norm of somebody who does this. It wasn't a razor blade. It wasn't a box cutter. Those are the other less, but 60%+, it's a paring knife or a smaller knife. Find a butcher knife that anybody's used.
Doesn't that then lean it more into the argument that this was not planned, that this was a psychotic break? That I've never attempted that, but honest to God, if I'm like playing it through my mind of like, okay, when I off myself, I would probably go for the butcher knife or for the kitchen knife, not the paring knife, because it's bigger. I don't know. I mean, I could see somebody that's not thought this out very well, grabbing the biggest knife they can find, which would be your kitchen knife. I feel like it's weird, Jen, because I feel like a lot of the arguments that where they land, the way you end up seeing them and a lot of people are seeing them, actually further the argument of the defense and psychosis, not the other way around. But it's like we both make the same arguments and we're both just as grounded in the strength of them, and we're saying almost the same things. I guess that's what's kind of fascinating about this case and how we're all landing it in very different ways with the same information.
Yeah, because I'm straight on that, all that too. It's like there's, because as of right now, and that's why I was curious, Jim. Because so basically, it really just comes down to, for me, with how I'm seeing it, is the difference between you believe it wasn't a psychotic break, and I think it was, and so, but everything else is exactly the same. And also, and I'm glad for your viewpoint on that too, because a lot of people have been wrapped up, well, she's going to get away with it. No, she's not getting away with anything. It's either way, she's gone. I mean, she's in jail if she even survives her own thing. And so when it comes also to the suicide thing, they haven't hit it yet, because we'll see. I think Reddington might cover it on defense. What I'm really curious about is, was her motivation for that? Because like I've heard some reports, or some say it was kind of going to the, not the pre-plan to be suicidal. It was like listening to the internal, you know, the command hallucination saying kill. Right. I know. Don't shake your head at it. We're just going to entertain the thought through a thought experiment.
Sorry.
But then the realization of what she did created the S attempt, because that then created the grab your nearest thing and then make that half-assed attempt, you know, from a perspective, and then jump out the window, just because not a pre-plan to do that, but the horror of what she just did. Do you see so I guess that's my question. Do you think the S attempt was a pre-plan, or was it the revelation, I guess, of what she had just done?
Absolute pre-plan. And to make it as bad of an attempt as she did. Listen, a two-story window, I guarantee you, Robin, you have jumped out of a two-story window or something that height likely. I can tell you in SWAT, we jumped out of 20 feet, probably 15, 16, 17 feet. I'm looking at my window right now and laughing because my son jumped out of this probably once a month, you know, sneaking out of the house when he was a teen. The bottom line is she landed wrong. And I've always said, and as a tactical medic, we learned very early, you can fall from something 6 foot tall and die if you land wrong on your neck, period, end of story. It's about how you land. And so she did not anticipate landing wrong. But to your question, I think it was absolutely premeditated as a part of the whole plan and scheme. And I think that that knife she grabbed, it's part of her grandioseness. Oh, I'll get this huge knife. It's going to look terrible. And then further, if you look at her courtroom, which I call performative actions in there, you know, it's kind of analogous. You know, she can't get away with this enough. Isn't going like, you know, it has to just get bigger and brighter and stronger if people aren't paying attention to her. She has to clear the courtroom. That is performative. That is like nothing I've ever seen. Check out Andrea Yates' trial.
I did.
You'll see what somebody really looks like. They don't care what their hair looks like. They don't have makeup on. They're completely disheveled. They have an absolute glaze of no one's home. And it's nothing like what we're seeing here.
I'm gonna push back on a fact on when it comes to suicide attempts, only because I'm sorry, as attempts were on YouTube. The when I was at Paris Island as a series and company commander down there, I actually had legit ones go from two stories out at the rifle range, and you knew it was legit because it's 2 a.m. in the morning, where they actually did that with a pure attempt, and they actually head dove to do it. So they're I wouldn't give, you know. So I saw that. We don't know, again, what the intent was, because, you know, you say that it's, you could say that she landed wrong because she didn't intend to do it that way, or she landed exactly what she wanted to and she didn't do what she intended to do. So it's hard to tell on that one.
I mean, the thing is, someone can be in a state of psychosis and plan things. That's how that works. Yep. I mean, it's not like it's a and or type scenario. And I do, you know, some of the argument you're making about the postpartum psychosis, take the postpartum out of it. I mean, psychosis. It seems she got there. Whether it's technically classified as postpartum psychosis or not, I don't know. I mean, it seems she was being medicated for postpartum depression, or that's what they thought they had going on, with a mix of generalized anxiety, which it wasn't. It was bipolar, which we now know that was, which can lead to mania, which can lead to states of psychosis. So I don't know if the postpartum is throwing people off too much, then that's the off ramp they get. Where, see, it's not close enough for it to be that. Okay, then take that out of the equation. It's psychosis. And you or me or anybody could get into there, especially. And Jen, here's what I don't know. I don't know how we're so different on it. Is the 30 different prescriptions, 13 different meds. And it was, I mean, when you get on these things, it takes time to get off these things. And there was one right hand was not knowing what the left hand was doing, getting on and off of all these different types of med, antipsychotic. I mean, this by itself is a recipe for disaster. And we're not arguing toxicity of these medications. That seems to be what the big argument is. Well, they weren't at toxic levels. Nobody's arguing they were at toxic levels. We're arguing the levels at which they interacted with her chemical makeup and her serotonin levels and all the levels back and forth, on and off. That's what created this brain that was in this totally effed up state. That's including the meds. Take the meds out of the equation, and her body's already there with what's going on. So there's certain facts here that are just facts as to how medications work and on and off and how that all affects a human being. We've all seen cases where people are grandiose, they're playing the room, and they're full of shit. This, to me, just does not read that way. What is reading to you about this as being performative on the part of Lindsay Clancy? I know you said, like, in the courtroom, to me, like I'm watching a genuine person break down. I don't know how this is how someone would act if they're being confronted with all of this shit that they're horrified that they did, and they know that they did, and they've already admitted to what they've done. I would be shocked if she was not, if she was being not acting any other way.
Tony, this isn't the first time she saw these pictures. She had these kids in her hands.
I think every time you see these things, sure, but she was in an active state of psychosis when that was happening.
I don't agree with
that. This is now looking back on it, going, "Holy shit, what did I do?"
But let's just entertain the argument that she was.
Okay.
She's seen these pictures a million times. She has to prepare for her defense. This happened in 2023. This isn't some revelation.
I don't think she's like scrolling through them like, oh, look at that cute one. You know, I mean, I don't think that's what's going on.
But she would have seen them. Let's both, I think.
Could she have had access? Yeah. I mean, did she? I don't know the answer to that. I don't think I would highly doubt she's requesting, let me take a look at those pictures.
Well, I would think she would have access to her entirety of her file because she's helping prepare her defense.
Sure.
So I don't think these autopsy pictures are like, this is the first time, like something that she had no idea.
It wouldn't matter to me. I don't care how many times you show me the death of my kids. I don't care what it was. I would lose it every single time.
I agree, but she caused the death and she was there with them.
Which makes it worse.
So how long was the psychosis? It just lasted that whole time?
Yeah, it goes in and out. That's how that works.
I don't believe she was in it. So
is there a world, is there anything that would convince you that she wasn't? Like, what's missing from the equation that you're like, yeah, no. Yeah.
What's missing from the equation is zero history of being bipolar, schizophrenic, having serious medical issues like that. The other thing that's missing is the age of her child. The other thing that is missing is the focus of her homicidal intention on all three children, as opposed to the one she would have been having postpartum with 8 months, you know.
Doesn't that lean more toward it being a psychotic break then?
Oh, not if you're talking postpartum psychosis, which is what everybody is trying to argue.
Well, and like I said, take the postpartum. I mean, it's after she had a baby, you know, but
I can't take it out because that's the whole point. That's exactly what they're arguing. And then the medications, I'm seeing therapeutic levels. If I would have seen something not causing death.
But you can be at a therapeutic level with a medication like this and it not be working well with the way your body is metabolizing it and the way your brain is dealing with it.
Yep. And I think you make a great point. Look, I can't imagine being on all those things. I mean, even the ones, if you look what was in her system, she still had five and traces of some benzos. Yeah. Just traces. Right. She had quit them, but they were still lingering, but still.
And these aren't the meds. We're going to have a hung jury. Yeah. We're going to have a hung jury.
We are. And these aren't the meds for treating bipolar either. These are meds for treating generalized anxiety, which when you take the meds for treating generalized anxiety for bipolar, it has the opposite effect, which can lead to psychosis. That's where it's like.
The lack of sleep was the accelerator to everything,
like,
too.
Was there a history? Not technically, because she didn't have the bipolar diagnosis, but that's more so a reflection of the medical system not diagnosing her correctly, not spending the time that they needed to get a diagnosis. And I completely agree. You need to be your own advocate as best as you possibly can. But at the same point, you have to rely on the experts to do their job effectively and trust them. You can't be walking into every doctor saying, here's what I should be on because I work in this field technically. I mean, that's their job. She's not a prescriber. She's a labor and delivery nurse. And the idea that she's going to walk in there because of that and know exactly what to do to treat a psychiatric disease is, I think, ludicrous.
Jen, do you think the mental health system, because let's bring it to that, because really for us, I think the big factor for us is how the mental health system really failed this system. So say you're correct and there's no psychotic break, there's no postpartum psychosis. Do you think this would have happened had the mental health system worked properly regardless? because I mean, because that's where we're trying to bring attention to is women's mental health, about how it wasn't really treated well. There was no centralized care. There's no person kind of saying this is what was being doled out. In other words, there was no one clinician that was a gatekeeper for everything in and out of her life. Do you see that as part of the problem in this?
I see it as part of the problem, but I see it centrally as a lot of that being on her shoulders, because how can I help it? So say I'm the psychiatrist, right? And we can all agree that doing telemedicine for this, mm-hmm. as many though will say, telemedicine is better than no medicine, right? At least she was trying to do something.
Something, yeah.
It also tells me she didn't want to take the time or the, you know, the time out of her day, the time to do, she wasn't putting this up here. She was shopping for prescriptions because you can get that easy with telemedicine, right? So to just put it all on them and none on her, I just can't do that in its entirety. But I agree with you that there were, you know, issues certainly with the medical staff and the medical healthcare providers that treated her. But a lot of that's on her. It's on both.
Yeah. I mean, this is certainly not a case where it's 100% is here or there. I mean, there are pieces, there's a lot of pieces to the pie to which blame goes. And I think we all have different views of the pie and who has the bigger pieces of it. But it's certainly a case that, that if anything, at the end of the day, whether or not, you know, one agrees she was conscientious of what she was doing when she was doing it, this has put a spotlight on the medical establishment and the way that it communicates or doesn't communicate with itself. And the idea of the patient having to be the advocate on everything when they're relying on the medical establishment to make the choices that it needs, I think it brings a lot of it to the forefront and to the light, and hopefully it makes people more aware, whether that be more aware when they go into their own appointments of how much they do need to advocate for themselves and don't just rely on them to do it right, because they won't, or whatever, what have you. But it is... It's a crazy case all around. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. We'd love for you to weigh in and give us your thoughts there.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.
In today's world, planning ahead isn't always top of mind, but not having life insurance can leave families facing difficult financial uncertainty during already emotional times. In many cases, loved ones are left managing expenses, debts, or long-term obligations without a clear plan in place. Life insurance is one way to help provide financial security and support when it's needed most. That's where Ethos comes in. Ethos makes getting life insurance fast and easy, and it's 100% online. You can get a quote within seconds, apply in minutes, and even get same-day coverage. There's no medical exam. You just answer a few simple health questions online, and coverage options are flexible with up to $3 million available and some policies starting at around $30 a month. Ethos has also earned strong customer feedback with a 4.9 out of 5 star rating on Trustpilot based on more than 5,500 reviews as of August 2026. Help protect your family with life insurance through Ethos. Get your instant quote today at ethos.com. That's ethos.com. Application times and rates may vary.